We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Lent and one for Easter. And we'll send you this new CD for any size donation during the season of Lent. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between now and April 12th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Lent and Easter sermons.
This is a battle for equality, not just for the 18,000 gay and lesbian couples that had the opportunity to marry in the aftermath of the Supreme Court's historic decision last summer, but it is a fight for the equality of all Californians.
That's Dennis Herrera, San Francisco City Attorney, talking about an argument made today, oral arguments before the California Supreme Court on Prop 8 dealing with gay marriage in California. We're going to be talking in the last 10 minutes about that proposition, about the Supreme Court challenge, with Andy Pugno. He's general counsel for Yes on Prop 8. Andy, welcome to Issues Etc.
Good afternoon.
How did it go this afternoon in the California Supreme Court?
Well, we think that it went very well. There was clearly a broad understanding on the court that really at the end of the day, it all boils down to the fundamental inalienable right of the people to have the final say on what is in their constitution.
So this really, at least from your perspective, the arguments here don't have so much to do with the merits of gay marriage or even of Prop 8 as a constitutional amendment, but the right of the people to decide their constitutional content.
That's right. In fact, last year it was actually almost to the day 1 year ago that in the Supreme Court we were arguing about the rights of same-sex couples and marriage and its purpose, and that was really a different day and a different debate, and that led to the court legalizing same-sex marriage. The people, of course, reversed that by passing Proposition 8. And so today we're in court dealing not with the merits of gay marriage, but rather it's more of a procedural issue, and it really has more to do with the right of the people to fix what the court did when it legalized gay marriage last year.
So what is it like making an argument like this before the California Supreme Court?
Well, in California, the direct initiative process, which has been on the books for about 100 years, is something that the courts generally are very quick to protect. I mean, they realize that that is a fundamental part of how our system of government. California Constitution is probably one of the easiest constitutions to change, and in fact has been changed hundreds of times since California became a state. And so the court is fairly, defers to that normally, and I think we saw much of that deference today and some skepticism about the idea that the court can declare new rights that are off limits from the voters to fix.
What kind of questions, if any, did you get from the justices on the California Supreme Court that heard your argument?
Well, during the first part of the day, most of the questions to the people who are challenging Prop 8 focus on the fact that there really is no precedent for the court stepping in and saying, essentially that the people shouldn't be allowed to amend the Constitution with regard to a decision that it made that has to do with individual rights. I mean, the example that we use is that when the death penalty was thrown out by the court in the 70s, there is no more fundamental right than the right to life itself. And so we're talking about the government putting someone to death. The court said there's a fundamental right to life throughout the death penalty, but the voters went to the ballot box and restored the death penalty. And when that was challenged, the court said, the people get the final say. And that's been fairly consistent all through California. And I think you saw questions really peppering the other side with questions about why are they inviting the court to go off into new territory and create new law, that's not what judges do.
This really would be, I mean, it seems to me that if the Supreme Court were to say, no, we are going to nullify the voice of the people in their ability to amend their own constitution, the Supreme Court would, in effect, be amending the Constitution, because part of the Constitution is the amendment process. Am I oversimplifying it?
No, not at all. You're right on, because remember, the court only exists because there's a Constitution that gives it existence and power. I mean, the four corners of the Constitution are the limits of the court's authority. So if the court kind of lifts itself above the Constitution and now says, we'll just decide independently when the voters should or should not amend the Constitution, they have in fact given themselves a role in preventing amendments to the Constitution that it has never been had before.
That seems to me would not only be an issue for California, within California, but that would be an issue, a national issue. At least the legal conversation would be a national issue. Can courts, as a principle, in effect amend the constitutions under whose authority they actually operate?
Oh yeah, it would be very problematic. First of all, it would totally destroy the public's confidence in the process of bringing laws to the ballot box by petition and getting to vote on initiatives if they were just going to be struck down by the courts. And second of all, it would really be a change from our model of self-government, where the consent of the majority is where government gets its power, to instead a new form of government where essentially it's the judicial oligarchy, that would essentially be king. And that would be really a first in the American tradition.
It seems if the proponents of overturning Prop 8 were really truly concerned about the people's ability to amend the California Constitution, rather than challenging Prop 8 per se, they would simply ask the people to revoke their own ability to do this, put it to a vote.
Well, that is an option. In fact, Chief Justice George today pointed that out. He said, perhaps this is not really a legal issue at all, but rather just the practical issue that the people have chosen for the time being to make it easy to amend the Constitution. And if they want to make it more like our federal Constitution, which is very difficult to amend, has only been amended 23 times in the history of the United States, then we could do that. We could adopt a new constitution or a new rule that says, maybe you need a supermajority, or maybe it's extremely difficult to amend the Constitution. But the voters have not decided that we should put that process in place. So for now, the process remains the way it's been for 100 years.
If those opposing Prop 8 fail to get the decision they want out of the California Supreme Court, what would you expect them to do next?
Well, there are a few ideas that are out there circulating. One of them is for the opponents of Prop 8 who want to legalize gay marriage. They could go and put a measure on the ballot themselves to repeal Prop 8 by vote and go out and try and convince people to change their minds. That's actually the proper place to be carrying on this debate and really – so that's our argument, is that if they want gay marriage, they should go try and convince a majority and get people to vote for it, instead of shopping around for a court that will do it against the will of the majority. So they may try to do that. There really aren't there are a possibility of some additional legal proceedings, but I think it's very unlikely. So, you may see this issue settle down for a while.
And where do the California people, at least for the time being, seem to stand on the issue of gay marriage in California?
Well, I think what you have really is the three segments of California. You have one-third that supports traditional marriage but wants no other recognition for alternative relationships. At the other hand, you have people who are all for gay marriage. And then in the middle, you have this third that does not want to change the definition of marriage, but they also want to provide kind of an alternative set of rights and benefits to protect people in other relationships. And that's where California presently is. So I think that you'll see that continue for some time, and that will probably kind of settle as the status quo in California, protect traditional marriage, but also give people access to other rights.
Andy Puno is general counsel for Yes on Prop 8. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Terrific. Thanks. Thanks for having us.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll have Dr. Donald Calbreath answer the question, is there a gay gene? That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. Look, there are things that could be decided by the voters, and it would be a shame if California voters decided at long last that they were going to permit something like gay marriage. But of course, that's how the constitutional cookie would crumble, wouldn't it? You can't really have it both ways. And California is only one state. But of course, the proponents of gay marriage are not looking for legal victories. I know it looks like they are because they're willing to spend an awful lot of money to procure them. They're not even looking for electoral victories or victories on referenda. Those are all means to an end, whether it be the courts or popular vote or trying to change constitutions or prevent constitutions from being changed, whether it be a fiat on the part of a court saying, we're just going to have gay marriage, live with it. This is not about the legal wrangling. This is ultimately and only about legitimacy. This is ultimately and only about requiring legally or by whatever ever other means are at their disposal that you and I legitimate not only the gay relationships but also gay marriage. They want society to say to them, what you're doing is okay. That's what they're really looking for. And it's something we simply cannot say because it wouldn't be the truth. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.